Hello, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist, and every week or so I write a newsletter all about the future of radio, and you're listening to the podcast version, because why not? This week, the end of music radio on AM, TuneIn cuts radio stations off, and DRM's relationship with the BBC. But first, I have a beautiful photograph of a place that I walked past last weekend, the International Broadcast Centre for the 2032 Olympics, which, of course, is happening here in Brisbane. It's currently a glass factory on the Brisbane River. It's a large plot of land. It'll look very nice when they turn it all into swanky TV and radio broadcast studios. And one all kind of wonders what they're going to do with it after they've finished. Some of the smart money is on the commercial radio stations here in Brisbane, moving down from their home on the big hill in Mount Cutha and moving down to the International Broadcast Centre afterwards. But goodness, it's a long time to wait. The Visy Glass Factory will still be there for another 5 years anyway, so I don't suppose we'll know any of that until that point. Anyway, we'll start with Brisbane radio news, actually, because Brisbane station 4KQ, which is an oldies radio station, has been sold to a company called SEN, a sports radio company that owns a variety of sports radio stations across Australia. The price was $12 million American dollars, which is $8.5 million US. 4KQ's owners ARN had to sell it under ACMA's ownership rules. They own 4KQ and KISS 97.3, and they'd bought Grant Broadcasters for a large slab of money in November. Now, when they bought Grant Broadcasters, that gave them neighbouring radio stations River and Hot 91.1. Both of those stations have overlapping transmission areas, which meant that they had too many radio stations, so one of them had to go, and it was probably going to be 4KQ. But why, you might ask? Well, it's currently number three in the market. It does pretty well as an oldest station. But the new owners see there being more benefit in taking SEN onto an AM frequency in Brisbane. It's been on DAB Plus for a while. And as I covered back in November, though, 4KQ might be a market leader in the Brisbane market, but only a market leader for audiences aged 55 or more. In fact, 75% of its audience is 55 plus, 53% aged 65 plus, but a very low amount of 40 to 54 audience, which suggests that the station, successful as it has been, hasn't been sufficiently concerned with maintaining new replenishers. Audiences who want similar music on AM now have one choice, just one choice. To flick up the dial to 4BH1116, which is a pretty dreadful frequency, recently vacated by talk station 4BC. 4BH is owned by Nine Radio, but operated on their behalf by Victorian-based Ace Radio, and it has no locally sourced programming at all. All output comes from Melbourne. The music policy is lower tempo as well than 4KQ. Radio app calls it Easy Music 4BH, Brisbane's place to relax. But the website doesn't actually use that positioning at all. Even so, the last 20 minutes that I listened to have been full of Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely? George Michael and Aretha Franklin, I Knew You Were Waiting. Fleetwood Mac, Rhiannon, and Rod Stewart and Sailing. I think you've got the kind of idea. And there was one speed link in there from Kathy Jubb. We learned from her biog she is a fan of Carlton being an AFL sports club based in Melbourne. AFL really isn't a thing up here in Queensland, so yeah. Anyway, 4BH is the obvious winner, though, from 4KQ's demise, but other recipients might be Talk Services ABC Radio Brisbane on 612 or 4BC on 882. ABC does play some music. The only other radio station playing music other than 4BH is Switch Brisbane 1197, which is a youth community radio station inexplicably licensed on AM. Last time I heard, it was without a studio, and it doesn't appear to have updated its website since December. Judging by the music they play, it's unlikely to appeal to 4KQ's audience. When I tuned in, it was playing Purple Dance Machine's Dopamine, whatever that is. The question here, I guess, is whether AM music radio has a long-term future in big cities. I'm not sure it does. It's clearly needed in more sparsely populated areas like outback Australia. It's still got a future for talk, at least for now. But I'm not sure we're going to see any more music stations on AM. And I guess ARN hasn't sold the 4KQ name. So they could potentially just keep 4KQ going on DAB Plus and on their iHeartRadio app, at least keep the popular breakfast show and a non-stop music service during the day, and that could be quite a stunt to pull by popular demand. We're not closing 4KQ. It is, though, more likely that either the breakfast show moves to another radio station and therefore has a slow, lingering death, or hopefully just gets a jolly good, affectionate send-off. Laurel Edwards, who's one of the co-presenters on that breakfast show, has been doing the show since the early 1990s, after all. It's probably one of Australia's longest radio presenters in the same slot. Now, if you were to tune in to Switch Brisbane 1197, if you're a fan of Purple Dance Machine, you would find a link on their website to listen now. When you click it, it takes you directly to their page on TuneIn. And that is unlikely to happen in the UK from this week, because in the UK, TuneIn has removed more than 1,000 radio stations from its catalogue out of what they call an abundance of caution. After the company lost a court case a few years ago, they've removed a number of stations that are apparently licensed anyway from the service. Now, a long time ago, I did ask both PPL and PRS for a list of their licensed online radio broadcasters so that I could ensure that I only linked to broadcasters who had licenses. And PPL and PRS said, no, you can't have a list. So I wondered whether I could check with them whether individual stations had licenses, and they told me that no, you can't do that either. So it does highlight that TuneIn and other US radio companies, firstly, couldn't care less about your radio station, and it's risky relying on them. B, it does highlight that there's a clear part to play for companies like Radio Player. And C, that the music collection agencies could be rather more helpful in this particular case. And I link today to a story in Radio World from DRM. DRM, Digital Radio Mondiale, is part of the BBC World Services story, is the headline. It's a long article from DRM Consortium Chair Roxandra Obreja. The article, which starts with a criticism that writer James Careless has once again ignored DRM, how careless of you, talks about the excellent radio station from the BBC, the BBC World Service, and I think the reader is invited to compare the luster of that great station and rub that off onto DRM, the digital radio standard. And there's an interesting conversation here, I think, around DRM's relationship with the BBC, because the BBC has lent its brand and its premises to the DRM Consortium as a past venue for the DRM General Assembly. Its logo adorns the DRM Consortium website as a member. And for a while, press releases from the DRM Consortium used to be sent from a BBC email address and were adorned with a BBC postal address as well. And the article includes a picture of an AM transmitter in the UK, which, quote, beams BBC World Service content in shortwave DRM to Europe and beyond. And it does. For 1 hour a day, between 5 and 6 in the morning. A detail that's only hinted at in the article itself. Now, DRM is certainly part of the BBC World Service's story, but it's a very small current part. It's also broadcast from Singapore in DRM for 2 hours a day, and that's it, according to the DRM Consortium's own website. Meanwhile, the BBC has done a number of pieces of research on DRM, including a long-term trial in Devon, which I felt important enough to cover when I was working for the BBC in 2009, a trial which uncovered, and I quote, challenges. And I think that this article in Radio World suggests that DRM is a big part of the BBC's strategy, and that, I think, seems misleading. DRM's a great technology. It's very, very clever and technically robust, and a lot of admirably clever people are working on it. But there's been next to no input from those that understand how the wider radio market works. No knowledge from commercial radio at all, or major receiver manufacturers as well. I did a little test, a search for Digital Radio Mondiale, and by the way, for DRM, on eBay in the UK, doesn't find a single receiver. There is one on eBay's global site. It costs $2,300, and it's marked parts only, and ominously comes from Switzerland. I'd have liked to have seen DRM succeed, and while we'll tell DRM's big in India, 28% of new cars apparently come with it, although I don't see any home receivers on Amazon India at all. It doesn't appear to have made it anywhere else. And I'm afraid James Careless was right to have passed it over. Is it too late? Well, I hope not. In other news, Spotify's Pandora-like stations app is to close. It was one attempt by Spotify to pretend that it could pretend to be radio, and it failed to do very much at all by the looks of things. There's an NME in Australia, who knew? And in an article from it that I linked to, a man from ARN has used a Lazy Buggles headline. Nah, mate, nah. And the man in question is the boss of CADA, which is a new FM station available in Sydney, and a DAB station in the capital cities. We're told is a new youth station from commercial radio. It's Australia's home of hip-hop and R&B, apparently, though whenever I've tuned in this week, it sounded as if it's disjointed edits from a podcast with no radio furniture or name checks or anything else remotely connected to the music that they're playing. But there again, I'm not the target market. And it's supposed to be quite the radio reinvention. So for the benefit of radio, I hope it does really well. I linked today to the TV ad for it, which is 60 seconds of its target market dancing to something, and then a logo for a brand new brand, which fails to mention that it's a radio station. As far as I can tell, the TV ad is a complete and total waste of time and money. But there again, I'm not the target market. And I genuinely do wish it does well, because goodness, we need to do something about the youth audience. Meanwhile, in Wales, The Wave in Swansea is giving up on local radio, taking everything except The Breakfast Show from England. And I'm surprised it took Bauer so long. The other radio station they run there, Swansea Sound, turned into Greatest Hits Radio for a while. Its only local programming is from Cardiff, an hour's drive away, and that's between 1 and 4 in the afternoon. I'd like to be a little bit more positive about radio in this podcast. So I link to a piece of research from the US showing how people have changed their listening to radio in the last few years. 20% say they're listening to radio more often. So let's focus on that rather than the 34% who are listening less often, shall we? But if you'd like some more positive vibes, could I recommend you enjoy a presentation from Jacobs Media, which is coming up. It's on May the 10th. It's free to watch, and it's research from radio's superfans. It's worth watching, as all of Fred's stuff is, and I'm sure that Fred will come up with some positive as well as things for us to think about. And some more positive news about radio. I linked to a web article today about the fancy houses that ex-radio people live in. A nice picture of a house owned by Lawrence Moonman Mooney, who worked for Triple M Breakfast in Sydney for a bit until his contract was terminated, and he copped a fine for COVID-19 rule flouting, and he's now settling in to take his old radio employers to court. Meanwhile, that piece also includes photographs of Alan Jones's house, a fantastically tasteless 10-bedroom house with a blue-dyed ornamental lake. Alan fell off the radio in 2020 after advertisers were beginning to come off his peculiar brand of misogyny and climate denial, and even a primetime slot on Sky News failed to save his broadcasting career. I think he's still doing stuff on Facebook, although to be honest, I've not looked. Meanwhile, some good work from the BBC, who did a study removing all BBC content for people for 9 hours to see how they reacted. Most people, even people vehemently against the licence fee, didn't actually like having the BBC taken away from them. And as a nice touch, at the end of that 9 days, people were given back the 9 days of licence fee, which is £4, which is very clever. Here's a tiny amount of money back. And by the way, that amount of money is the money that you're spending on this stuff that you missed so much. Very clever piece of work. Well done, BBC. That's nice. And stupid Nadine Dorries check. She's the stupid culture secretary in the UK for the stupid Conservative government that stupid people have been voting for again, I notice. Anyway, she said in an interview that Channel 5 did much better after being privatised. And of course, Channel 5 has never been publicly owned. Thank you to Richard Hilton, James Masterton and Brun Audio Consulting for your ongoing support of this newsletter and this podcast. I'm very grateful to you. You can sign up to this newsletter at james.crid.land. That's where you'll find it, and that's where you'll find all of the show notes today. If you'd like to support my work in any way, buy me a coffee, buymeacoffee.com/JamesCridland. You can become a member to give regularly, or just give a one-off coffee, or five. I link to where to do that, of course. And my professional website, yes, I do have one. A professional website has more detail about who I am and what I do and whether I can help you further. You'll find that at james.cridland.net. I'm going to be at Radio Days Europe in Malmö in Sweden later on this month. Very much looking forward to that, as well as the podcast show in London in May and Canadian Music Week in June. Perhaps I will see you in one of those three places. If not, have a wonderful time, and I will speak to you next time. And keep listening.